Praise God. Let's just pray before we open the word. Father, we just thank you, Lord, that we've already experienced your wonderful presence here. Father, you've already been speaking to us, Lord, right across this morning, Lord. And we're just thankful, Lord, that you're a God who loves us, God who cares, Lord. You're the God who wants to talk to us, Lord. And so, Father, we just open our hearts now as we open your word. Lord, just speak to us through your word today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're here. And Father, let us have ready and willing hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, bless you all this morning. Great to see you here. To worship our wonderful Lord and to be in his presence. Did you know that our theme for the year is shining? How many people knew that our theme for the year was shining? If you didn't know that, it's your first Sunday. Well, welcome. If you did not know that, our theme for the year is shining. And I want to talk about shining in one area of our life, shining in that area of giving, being a generous person. There's a scripture I want to start with in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 7. And this is what it says. But it says, since you excel in everything. So God's heart is that we were going to shine in every area of our life, every aspect of your life. God has called you to be one that is outstanding, that you stand out. There's something about you, something that shines in every facet, every area of your life. That's the way God has made you to be. He's made us to be that, that we will excel, that we're going to shine in everything. It says, in faith. In faith, God wants us to shine, to be ones that are full of faith and shining that area of faith. In speech, that what comes out of your mouth radiates and testifies to the glory of God. Nothing else. Never let anything other than something that is going to bring glory to God coming out of our mouth. In knowledge, that we're diligent about the things of God. We talked about the Word of God last week, how important that was. We're going to shine in that, in application and living the Word of God out in our lives. In complete earnestness and that passion for our Lord Jesus Christ, that when we come together to praise God, we're going to shine in our worship, in our own devotion every day. We're going to shine and excel in those things. And in the love that we have. God wants us to shine with the love that we have for one another. Keep one another in prayer. At the prayer meeting Friday night, we had a great time of prayer. We were really focusing on people that really need a healing in their lives. If you weren't there and you needed a healing, you need a healing. We prayed for you on Friday night because we believe God's a mighty God. But we do that because God's a loving God. We love one another. We care for one another. And again, please keep Sarah Mason in your prayer as she's coming hopefully out of hospital today. She's been in the hospital. We'll keep her in prayer. But out of love, we need to excel for one another. And then it says at the end, after all of those things, it says, see that you excel in everything at the beginning. And a little reminder, because this is a little thing that some people will tend to maybe forget about because they're full of faith in their speech, their knowledge, their earnestness, their love. But see also that you excel in this faith, this grace of giving. So there's that challenge for us to excel in that area in our lives. And that's what I want to talk about, shining in the area of giving, that we will be outstanding in our generosity, that you will be known as one who is full of faith, yes, in your speech, your knowledge, your earnestness, your passion for the kingdom of God, your love for your brothers and sisters, your love for the lost, but one also excels, shines in the grace of giving. I just want to make a point with a few scriptures here, and then I really want to look in 1 Kings 17 in just a moment. So if you've got a Bible, you can turn to 1 Kings 17 while we talk about some other scriptures, but you can start to get that one ready as we're going to read quite a lot of verses from that in just a moment. One of the things that's really important for us to realize that the provision that God has for you and your life is linked to your generosity. It's actually linked to your giving. Let me say that again. The provision that God has for you and for your family is linked to your giving. Did you hear that? The provision that God has for you is linked to your giving. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not talking about people who fall into the trap of thinking, well, I'm going to give to God so that I, even if I give to God, he's going to give unto me, he's going to bless me. Well, that may be true, but our motivation should never be that. Never be one who's a giver that's actually a briber. Think, well, I'm going to give God a bribe. I'll give God something. God owes me now. I've given a bribe to God. Therefore, God has to give unto me. I don't hold to that at all. God's not someone that's going to be bribed. And so don't fall into that trap of a prosperity type of message where you think that, well, if I give unto God, he must give unto me and I'll give him a little bribe. It's not, doesn't work like that. It's not what I'm talking about. A heart of giving is always out of our love for God, out of our appreciation for him, out of our worship for God. That's the only reason why we ever give. But remember that God's provision is linked to our giving. There is a link, an inescapable link. We don't give that we might be given to, but there is a link between it. 2 Corinthians 8:9 is a great place for us to start, and this is what it says. For it says, "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet he became, for your sake, he became poor, so that through his poverty you might become rich." Now, it's an interesting passage because it's actually right in the context of giving. It talks about Christ being rich, becoming poor. Well, we know that Christ laid aside absolutely everything for us, and we've celebrated that wonderfully, so wonderfully, around communion this morning about our Lord Jesus Christ, who had everything, but he laid everything aside. He laid aside his reputation. He laid aside all of the things that he had to come and walk among us, to live among us, and to give his life for us on the cross. But so through his poverty we might become rich. And we have a richness in Jesus Christ. We have a life, we have an abundant life in Jesus Christ. He died to give us all of those things. And always remember that. Whenever we talk about giving, always remember that the one who has given us everything, our Lord Jesus Christ. You can never escape that. And our heart always comes back, "Lord, I love you. I'm so grateful for what you've done for me, Lord. And I just give because I love you, Lord, for no other reason." But don't misunderstand and don't forget, do not be ignorant of the fact that God's provision in our life is definitely linked to our giving. Philippians 4:18 makes it very clear. Many of us know Philippians 4:19. You'll quote it. Some of you probably got it on your fridges or on your toilet door or wherever else you put scriptures around your house. But there's a Philippians 4:19, but there's a verse 18 that says that we know 19, which says, "And my God will meet your needs according to all his riches, to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." But what about verse 18? It says this, and this is the Apostle Paul writing. He's talking about giving. He's talking about offerings. He says, "I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." Now, we all quote that, you claim that. You get a bill. We've got a nice little mountain of bills ourselves. And so you might claim that and say, "Well, according to his, my God will meet all my needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." But remember, when Paul was saying that, he just made a whole lot of statements. He talked in verse 18, he talked about being amply supplied, about the whole point of giving, and that out of our giving, our provision is linked to our giving. There's no mistake about that. Some people who are going to talk about a circumstance in Scripture in a moment, some people say, "Oh, my finances." Well, if your finances are not right, maybe that your giving isn't right. Maybe that's one of the reasons why, because there's a strong link here. "And my God will meet," there's an "and" there, and so it's conditional on what's happened before. "And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus." And another scripture, we actually read this last week, but let's remind ourselves, each Sunday we have one little scripture when we take up the offering, and this is what we read last week. It said, "Give, and it will be given to you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you." Again, our God's provision is linked to our giving. If we're stingy, we don't give, we hold back, we're in fear, I can't do this, whatever, then with that same measure is the measure that we will live under in our own heart and in our own life. But we want that good measure pressed down, shaken together, poured into our lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So the measure I want to use is one that is pressed down, shaken together as much as I can, running over in abundance. And there is a blessing with that. Now remember, as I've made the point, God's provision is linked to our giving, but we don't give because of that. That's never your motive. Never make that your motive that you're going to give. If ever you hear a preacher saying, you know, "Put in the offering today that God will bless you." Well, the truth is God will bless you, but that's not why you should ever give. You only ever give because you love God with all your heart. You want to worship him and serve him. That's our motivation only ever. But there's a spiritual law, there is a principle that God's provision is linked to our giving. Now, I want to really focus on this story in 1 Kings chapter 17. And let's read it. It's a story about Elijah. Now, this story really is about Elijah. It really focuses on a widow. But really, the story is about Elijah. It's not really so much about the widow. But the interesting thing in this is that through that, her heart to the kingdom is actually brings such an incredible blessing upon her life. In fact, it actually saves her life and saves the life of her son. So I want to read you this story about Elijah from 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to read down from verse 1. It says, "Now Elijah the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead said to Ahab," Ahab was the king, the evil king, "as the Lord the God of Israel lives, whom I serve, there will be neither dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word." That's a pretty strong pronouncement. You don't go around to the king who will chop your head off very easily and make pronouncements just because you're having a bad day. God put something on his heart and he spoke a strong prophetic word over to the king. "And then the word of the Lord came to him, 'Leave here,'" which is probably good advice because the king might want your head afterwards. "'Leave here, turn eastward and hide in the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan. You will drink from the brook, and I have ordered ravens to feed you there.'" That's pretty an amazing thing, isn't it? There's a brook. God said, "I'm going to bring a provision for you, a supernatural provision. I'm going to have birds that rather than eating the food themselves, they're going to actually deliver it to you." So he's got pizzas dropped off, no delivery fees. He's got all this wonderful food that these ravens that are bringing to them. And I trust it wasn't just roadkill, that God was using ravens to get food and to bring it to him. And so he was well looked after. God had anointed or ordered them. The word there literally means he's appointed them. He said, "Ravens, this is your job. You're going to go feed my servant Elijah." So God uses amazing ways to look after us in ways and things that we don't always expect. But God sent him there and he ordered these ravens to feed him there. And so he did what the Lord told him, which is a pretty good thing to do. Verse 4, "He went to the Kereth ravine east of the Jordan and he stayed there. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook." So he's doing pretty well. There's a famine that's going to come along the line, this big drought which causes a big famine. But he's okay. He's all right. He's there. He's got his, you know, burgers and he's got his fries and he's got his water and he's fine. He's looked after there. But then it says here in verse 7, it says, "Sometime later the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land." Now just imagine Elijah. Here he is. He's one who is a man of God. He's serving God passionately. He's put his life on the line to serve the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's gone before the king. King didn't kill him, praise God. He went and God has provided for him. And he's done everything that God asked him to do. He's been obedient. He's done everything. He loves God. He serves God. He worships God. And he's even following exact instructions that God gave him to do. But all of a sudden he finds himself in a situation where, hang on, this water is now dried up. And here he's doing everything that God told him to do. I've been obedient to God, but now the water has dried up. And maybe some of us are here. You've been in a situation like that. Maybe some of you are feeling a little bit like that now. Maybe you're feeling, "Lord, I've done everything that you told me to do. I love you. I serve you. I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I've done everything that you told me to do, Lord. I've been faithful. I've been obedient. I've done everything that you've said. And here I am. My brook has begun to dry up." And maybe some of you are feeling a little bit like that today. "I've done everything that was required of me, everything asked of me. Lord, there's nothing more that I could do. But Lord, it's dried up." And the temptation is to turn around and say, "God, where are you? What are you doing? I've done everything you asked of me. Did everything you told me to do. I've been faithful. I've your servant. And here I am in a situation with the very thing that you said you would do. And now it just seems like the whole thing's gone belly up. Where are you gone?" Now the temptation is when we're in a situation like that where it seems as if, "God, what, you've left me now. The ravens, where are they? The water, it was flowing. God, the water is no longer here." But in a situation like that, that's where it's really critical. Our own heart is so important, how we respond in our own heart, how we respond to God in that. Because what he could have done, Elijah could have got there and he could have started to wallow in self-pity and say, "Lord, this isn't fair. Lord, I did what you told me to do. I'm where you want me to be. And Lord, it's not working. What's wrong? Lord, you deserted me. Lord, I thought you were a mighty God. I thought you were faithful." And begin to question, and maybe in his own heart begin to harden his heart. And some people unfortunately do that. Things aren't going the way that they expected. And maybe they've been faithful and maybe they've done all that they were told to do and they get there and it just doesn't seem to connect. We can be one who can turn our heart and harden our heart. But praise God, Elijah didn't do that. He didn't just stay there wallowing in his situation. He actually stayed tuned to what the Lord was going to say to him. And maybe that's something for some people here today. Things haven't gone the way you thought they were. You've been obedient. You've been faithful. And the word of the Lord to you today is, well, you need to stay tuned. Listen to what I'm going to do now. You need to listen. Don't be so overwhelmed. There's no water. I'm going to die in my situation. Don't be so overwhelmed with your situation, your circumstances. Say, Lord, I'm just going to listen to you, Lord, because you do love me. You do care for me. God loved Elijah enough that he's getting birds to do home deliveries to him. Then God loves us and he's going to find a way. He's going to be an answer for us. But we need to listen to what the Lord is saying. Some people get so overwhelmed, I'm going to die, there's no water. They stop listening to God. We always need to listen to God because he is our provider and he will look after us. Verse 8 of 17, it says, then the word of the Lord came to him, go at once to Zarephath of Sidon and stay there. I have commanded a widow in that place to supply you food. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He commands ravens and now he's commanding a widow. It said ordered, it says commanded. The word is actually the same word. It means exactly the same thing. I have set aside, I have appointed, I have determined, I have charged, I have put in place someone, and as a widow is going to look after all your needs. Now, you might begin to think, well, hang on, why a widow, God? If you're going to appoint someone, why not get a wealthy landowner? If you read the story of Elisha, there was a very wealthy woman that looked after him. But what does Elijah get? He gets this poor widow. You might be thinking, hang on, God, I had ravens, it's gone, and now you're going to give me a widow to look after me? Thanks a lot, God. But he doesn't think like that because he knows God is for him and God's heart is for him. And so he says, I've commanded a widow in that place. You'd think the widow then would be there waiting, thinking, okay, that I know now. Here comes a man, Elijah. When Elijah comes, we've got to find Elijah. She'd be there waiting for him. But she's not waiting for Elijah. You find this woman is just simply waiting to die. Verse 10. So he went to Zarephath, and when he came to the town gate, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her, would you bring me a little water in a jar so I might have a drink? Which is probably a little bit thirsty. The brooks all dried up. Give me some water. I want some water and a drink. And so she was going to get it. There's obviously a well of some sort. As she was going to get it, he called, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. Bang, he's gone straight to the heart of the issue. God will do that with us. It goes right to whatever is fundamental in our heart. Some people, it's their relationships. Some people, it's their finances. Some people, it's all other different things in their life. God always will go to the heart in your circumstance, and it depends on how you respond to that. And as she was going to get it, verse 11, and bring me, please, a piece of bread. And verse 12, and she says this, as surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread. Maybe you felt like that. I don't have any answers. In my situation, there's nothing more I can do. I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I'm gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. What a tragic situation. She is that desperate. She's just going to, well, everything's gone now. We're going to have this last meal and then that's it. We're just going to starve to death. We're going to die. What a really sad, sad thing for this woman to be in. This woman who has absolute nothing, and yet somehow God is choosing this woman to be a provider for the kingdom of God. Because remember, this story is not about really the widow. This is really about Elijah. Elijah's representing to us kingdom, the kingdom of God, and the need for provision in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God needs to be provided for. And God, in his grace to Elijah, he uses ravens, and now he's using a widow. Most unlikely means, but he's using her to provide for him, providing for the kingdom. And so Elijah says to her, verse 13, don't be afraid. Go home and do as you've said. Think, oh, thanks a lot, Elijah. Go home, have my lunch and die. Thank you very much. No, it's not exactly what he's saying. He's saying, go home, you're going to make the meal. Yes, he's not telling you to die. But he says this, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord God of Israel says, the jar of flour will not be used up and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord gives rain on the land. So she went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day for who? For Elijah, because it's about Elijah. There was food for the kingdom of God. There was provision for the kingdom of God. So there was food every day for Elijah and, as a bonus, for the woman and her family. For the jar of flour was not used up and the jug of oil did not run dry in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. So There's many, many things that we can get from this. And remember, this is about a heart of being ones that are going to shine in giving. But also, ultimately, the story is about Elijah. It is about the provision for kingdom of God, that God sees his kingdom as paramount and he will provide for his kingdom. And in the process of providing for his kingdom, there is provision for those whom he loves. And so he says, I think verse 13 is very critical to us when he says, go home and do as you said, but first make a small cake of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me. And that's a really important principle for us, is it says first, but first, and there is a but first. Sometimes we look and say, look, I don't know if I've got enough to even pay all these bills. You've got a stack of bills. I know what it's like. You've got a stack of bills. And you think, well, I'll pay these bills and maybe we'll starve afterwards because we might not have anything left. But you can't think like that and say, well, God, if I've got anything left after I've paid all these bills, then maybe, God, I'll give you what is left over. And hopefully there might be something left for you, God. But the scripture says, but first, and that really is important. See, this lady's a widow. She doesn't have any provision. She doesn't have a husband that can work and bring in an income. There's no social security. Her son is obviously too young to be working. He's must be below about 10 because he can't work. And so there's no income coming into the family. And so she's got nowhere else to turn. And realistically, there is nowhere for her. But Elijah says, but first. And it's so important that there is that but first in our lives, that we do make God first. And it's for me. Who's me? It's not about Elijah. It's about the kingdom of God. Seeking ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all the things will be added unto you. And so there was a first principle here, and first was for the kingdom of God. But there was also a promise came with that. For this is what the Lord says, the jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry till the day of the Lord gives rain on the land. And so there's an important principle that first to do that. And as she was obedient to that, we begin to see this miracle that becomes unlocked and unfolds in her life. But it was first for me, first for the kingdom, then for yourself. And it's when we get that back to front is then when we really struggle. It's when we stay like a widow who has no income is when we've mucked that up and we get that wrong in her lives. And this woman didn't do that. She had every excuse to say, Elijah, you got the wrong one. I'm a widow. I've got absolutely nothing. But remember, God had actually appointed her. And she probably figured, well, I've got really nothing to lose here. And so she worked and she was obedient in what she was asked to do. She could have gone in self-pity and said, no, go get someone else, find someone else. But God asked her. And God will use sometimes the most least likely people. Even in his kingdom, you may feel, well, I've got nothing much to offer the kingdom of God. I can't serve. Maybe I can't sing. I can't do this. I can't do that. But God will use you. God's actually appointed you to be fruitful in his kingdom and even to work a miracle in your life and through your life. Every one of us, God can bring a miracle through us. It doesn't matter whether we're a widow. It doesn't matter who we are. God can work through our lives. But the principle of first. The very thing where she was obedient in that her actual service was the thing that was actually her salvation. If she hadn't have gone ahead with that, if she hadn't have done that, she would have gone home, had a smaller meal, because some for just for her children, a child, and had a meal and gone home, wallowed in her self-pity. God, this is terrible. Here I am. And then she would have died. But she wasn't like that. She had a heart that wanted to do something. See, sometimes you come across people that, when they look at their financial situation, and we know as a church about the principle of tithing. We believe it's important. We don't do it because we have to. We do it because we love God. And for us, it's not, well, I work out exactly 10% because that's the benchmark. Our heart is, well, I don't want to give the lowest. I actually want to give more. That's the heart of the people of God. We want to be a generous people. But some people will be like this widow sometimes to think, I just can't afford to tithe. I'm on a pension. And it's hard. Prices are going up all the time. Your gas bill will be going up. Your electricity bill going up. Everything is going up all of the time. In fact, I'm quite horrified at even in our economy, the things that are happening and the prices and things that are happening, implications. And we could all look at that and say, well, look, I'm not sure now I can afford to tithe anymore. I'm not sure that I can actually afford to do that. And how am I going to live if I total all this up and that? How am I going to do that? And some people make the conscious choice and say, well, I'm not going to tithe because I can't afford it. And they'll say, God will understand. Well, God's gracious. He's not going to beat you up and say, oh, you're not tithing. He's not going to do that. God's not going to come down and love you less because you're not tithing. He's not going to condemn us for not tithing. But we're actually robbing ourselves of the miracle of his provision in that process. And actually, maybe by not tithing, not putting God first, we're actually being like the widow who says, no, sorry, Elijah, go away. And we'll have the little meager meal that we have and we'll eat this and off we'll go. And then, well, she was going to die. We might not die. We got Social Security. We've got it, whatever else. But we miss out on the provision of God because our heart ultimately doesn't trust God. Ultimately, this is about faith in God. And ultimately, it's about trusting God. And so some people say that I can't afford to die. But man, if you're this widow, she could not afford not to have obeyed the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord come to Elijah. She could not afford not to. The life of herself and her son actually was conditional. It was related to, it was necessitated by the fact that she was obedient. Otherwise, she would have had that last meal, and it was definitely her last meal. But some of us will say, I can't afford to tithe. On all honesty, she could not afford not to tithe. She needed to. And some people that may be struggling, I just can't afford to. Please don't miss out on what God wants to do in your life. God comes through in ways. Many times in our family, we've just looked up and said, God, we don't even know how we're going to get through this. We've had many times in that. Now, God will come through. We've come through in a way. If we put God's first, then he will work his miracle. Sometimes in a least likely way. Maybe it's a raven. Well, personally, I haven't had any ravens dropping checks in the mail. They have. Well, God bless them. I never saw them. But God will use all sorts of ways to do that. And he'll even use people. He'll use circumstances, unlikely things. And he even may change things. Sometimes we get caught in a rut of God is going to provide for me this way. Elijah could have said, well, this is how God's going to provide for me. This is how he's done it. This is how he's always done it. He's got the brook here, and I'll always go to the brook, and there's always there. But God may actually want to change the way that he provides for us. He may want to change your job. He may want to change some circumstances. He says, well, I don't want you to always just eating. I actually want you to actually have better than that. I want you to be not just sleeping in on the side under a bush somewhere. I want you to come and sleep in a nice warm home and maybe give you some proper meal and some proper food, some hot food, because I don't think the ravens were cooking it when they bought it. And maybe God's got something better. God might actually change the way that he provides for us, and we need to be open for that. But we cannot have that mentality, I can't afford to tithe, because the miracle was tied up in that. And for us, it's the same thing. The miracle of God's provision, it's tied up in there. God's provision is linked to our giving. And how many people rob themselves of that blessing by saying, I can't afford to do this, and not but first the kingdom, then me. It's but then me, and then if anything left, maybe then the kingdom. And they get robbed from that. And God's heart is not to see us rob, but he puts principles in place. Again, don't ever give, oh, I'm going to start giving because I'll be blessed. Because straight away, your offering is not a pleasant aroma, it's a stink. It stinks. If we're giving purely on the basis that we might get back, that's not an offering, as I said before, that's a bribe. You give somebody something so they'll give you something in return. That's self-centered. It's a bribe as far as I'm concerned. But if you're giving freely out of the love of your heart, then that is what is that pleasing sacrifice that Paul mentioned. That's what's pleasing, because it's the heart of love that God cares about. He cares more about our heart than anything else. And that's a demonstration of our heart as we give unto him, as we honor him in that way. But don't fall into the widow's trap and think, I just can't afford to. She could not afford not to. And the reality is there's not a single person here that can say, I can't afford to tithe. We cannot afford not to tithe. And it's so important that we do that. And even in her own hands, she didn't have anything, this woman. All she got is a little jar with oil and a little bit of meal, whatever it is, oats or whatever that meal happened to be, whatever it was. That's all that she has. But God used the little that she had for a miracle. And God demonstrates that principle right through Scripture as well. You look at the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000. He's trying to get the message. The disciples, it says, they didn't understand that. A little bit thick, didn't get the message. That God will use whatever we have. If the little that we have is given with the right heart, God will do a miracle in it. And the Scripture tells us, as you read in Acts, that the disciples, they didn't quite, in the Gospels, you'll find that they didn't quite really understand that. They didn't fully understand those miracles, the significance of the miracles. But we need to understand that God will use what we have if we give it to him freely. And it was the salvation for her. It was so important. And so we've got to be people that are obedient. Don't make excuses. Sometimes we say, oh, look, it's okay. I'm going to make whatever excuse and God will forgive me. Well, God is a loving God. He's a generous God, but there's principles of God. If you violate the principles of God, then the thing that goes with the principle won't happen. It happens in every aspect of our Christian walk. God is gracious. He's loving. He's forgive us. He's not going to beat us up. If you haven't been tithing, God's not going to beat you up. He's going to love you, and he's going to love you the same whether you tithe or whether you don't tithe. You can't earn God's love. You certainly can't buy it from him. He's going to love us just the same. But there's a principle of his blessing and provision that we can be shutting ourselves out of. And so we don't want to do that. We want to be like the widow who was obedient, who didn't make excuses. She had every excuse to make. If anyone had the opportunity to make an excuse, the widow who had no means of income, who had no hope, no future, no means in any way, if anyone was going to make an excuse, she had excuses. And they're probably valid excuses, but she didn't. She was obedient. So let's be obedient in this area. Don't make excuses. We don't need to make excuses. Don't do that. Put God first. Trust in his word. This guy Elijah comes rocking in. He says, this is what the Lord says. She goes, well, who are you? I'm about to die here and you're coming here saying this is what... But it wasn't like that. So she had a heart that was soft. And when the word of the Lord was spoken, she knew this was God. Because remember, God had already prepared her heart. He commanded her. Even though she seems to act in ignorance, God had actually appointed her. It actually set her aside. It actually called her. And so when the word of God came, it actually rang true in her heart because there was something already in her heart. And I trust for all of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ here today, there's something already in your heart. That when the word of God comes into your heart, yeah, there's something already there. The soil is actually fertile and it'll actually bring something in my own heart. It doesn't bring condemnation. His word only brings life to us because ultimately he wants to bless every one of us. And to trust in God, he is our provider. If anything else of this word I learned, God is my provider. And your boss is not your provider. The government is not your provider. Praise God for that. God is our provider. And he gives us the ability, he tells us in Genesis that he gives us the ability to work and to generate wealth by the work of our hands. And that's important. If you can work, you need to work. You need to work. Paul's saying in his letters, was saying that, you know, this is mind your own business. Don't be a busybody. Do work with your hands. Do what you can and provide. And that was important too, because even this promise to the widow, this wasn't a forever thing. This jar wasn't going to last forever. This magic jar that we can now pass down through the ages. It's going to stop when rain started coming. You're thinking, well, what's going to happen when it starts raining? And she, like almost she'd be saying, Lord, don't let it rain. Don't let it rain because I want this more. But as soon as it started raining, which it did about 3 years later, it starts raining, then no more oil, no more jar. Well, there's a little bit to finish the jar, it was gone. And so then there was a time, and by that time the son would have been old enough where he can then start to work, and maybe she could start to take in some laundry or whatever she could do something and for provision. And so we still got to use our hands. God still gives us the ability to do that. But always look to God. He is our provider. Trust him. And giving always is an issue of love, number one. It's about love and it's about trust. Obedience comes in there, maybe further down the list somewhere. It's not the main thing. Don't just even give just out of obedience. Because if it's just obedience will lead to just a bondage where you end up... It's heart. It's heart, it's love, it's faith, so important. And then obedience, yeah, down here somewhere. But trust in his word, he is our provider. And just give what you have. That's what she gave. She just said, okay, I've got enough here. I'm going to make one meal. I've got enough for a meal for me and my son. And that's all I have. But she actually said, no, actually, I'm going to take what I have, which in her case was basically very little, if anything. And she took that little bit and she took off the Lord's portion and said, okay, here I go, Elijah. It says, me first. Yep, you first. And then my family. So, Lord, I'm going to do that. And then God gave a miracle. Giving to the kingdom, it's so important. And she lived a life. Later on, we see another miracle where her son actually dies and Elijah is used to bring her back to life. Because she says, well, went through all of this and now he's dead. This guy is my provider from now on. He's going to be working. I don't have a husband. And now he's dead. Now I'm really gone. Elijah, well, God, if you read on a little bit further, God does a miracle and brings his son back to life. Because God is a wonderful God and he's very faithful in all his things. So the point is to put God first in our lives. Don't ever be one who thinks, I'm on a pension, I'm a widow, I'm I can't afford to tithe, because you may be missing out on the very means to your provision, the miracle of God's provision in your life. Don't think that way. Never think that way. Never give out of as some sort of an investment program. I'm going to give unto God. If I give to God, He's going to give unto me. As I said, that's an offense. I find that offensive if people give thinking that's why they're going to give. I'm going to give because I will get. And if anything that is giving that I might get, is there's no love in that at all. In fact, it's the most self-centered thing you can be doing, is to do things for people so they'll do something for you. That makes you callous and hard-hearted and selfish. And we're not like that. We're going to excel, shine in our giving. So we're not going to be callous and hard-hearted and selfish in giving. Giving is giving freely, expecting nothing in return. That's what giving is. It can't be anything other than, if you expect anything in return, if that's why you do something, then you're never given it. It's giving is free of that. Now, God is gracious. His principles does work. Our provision is linked to our giving, but that's never our motivation. And so I just encourage us just to read a little bit, learn a lot from Elijah in the story. When things weren't going the way that he was told that they were even going to go, he trusted in God. He didn't wallow in his mess and his circumstances. Stand there in this dry brook, which is just, where's the water, God? You said there was going to be water. Where is it? It wasn't railing against God. He just was listening to God. And then the word of the Lord came to him and said, I'm going to do something a little bit different now. So if you're in that situation where you've been faithful, you love God, you've done everything that He's asked of you, and now it just doesn't seem to be working, I would say to you, be like Elijah did. Just listen to what God is going to tell you to do now. Don't be there so overwhelmed by your circumstances and the situation in that you're not listening to God. Listen to God, because He has the answer. It might be different from what you've known before. It may be different than what you've experienced before, because God can work in many, many ways, and He does. And so you listen to God. And then be obedient to God. Don't be like a widow who says, oh, I can't do this, I don't have anything. No, take whatever we have. Put the kingdom of God first and see His miracle follow. And it happens time and time again. In our family, we've seen it happen time and time again. And even at times when you total everything, you say, Lord, I feel like this widow. But first. And you honour that, God honours you. But again, only reason we're doing that is because we love Him, and it's such a wonderful thing to have a generous heart to shine in that area of giving. I want to close with this scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 13 and 14. And this is really tells that if we are people that really are shining, excelling, outstanding in our giving, to be outstanding in our faith, outstanding in our speech, outstanding in our knowledge, outstanding in our love, but don't forget also to be outstanding, to shine, to excel in that area of our giving. And the result of that is this. It says in 2 Corinthians 9, 13 to 14, it says, because of the service by which you have proved yourself, it's a proving of your heart, others will praise God. So other people that are going to come into the kingdom of God, other people that will find Jesus Christ, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else. And in your prayer and in their prayers, because they'll say, praise God, thank you for a people that cared enough, that they had resources that they were able to share and to touch and reach us in this community. And your generosity in sharing with them and everyone else, and in your prayer, their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you. What a wonderful blessing it is to be able to be generous and to be able to give and to excel and to shine in that. God has caused us to shine in our giving. So let's stand to our feet. I want to pray for us now. Let's stand to our feet. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah, Lord. We just lift you up, Father. Father, I just come before you now, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you're here, Lord. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you speak to us through your word. And Father, sometimes, Lord, your word goes right into the core of the issue. And Father, if anyone, this is an issue they struggle with, Lord, maybe you're going right to the heart of that matter even now. And Father, I pray, Lord, that we not be ones, Lord, who live in fear, Lord, but we'll be ones who live in faith, Father. And Lord, even in this area, Lord, that we'll demonstrate our faith to you, Lord, and our trust in you, Lord, in this area in our lives. Father, I pray for anyone that's in a situation right now, Lord, where they feel they've done everything that they can, everything that you've asked of them. And Lord, as they look at their situation, Lord, it looks as if, well, the brook's run dry. Lord, whether it's a financial provision, Lord, whether it's just a mess of relationships, Lord, whatever the circumstances are, Father, I pray, Lord, right now, Father, for anyone, Lord, is in such a situation, Lord, that their ear, Lord, will be tuned to you. Lord, because I know, Lord, that you want to speak into their heart, Lord, the divine strategy, Lord, the blueprint, Lord, the answer for their situation, their circumstance that they're going through. Father, I pray, Lord, let us have an ear to hear what your Spirit is saying, Lord, that we might know what to do, Father. Let us not be locked into what we've known before, but Father, know that you can do in a totally other ways, Lord, and unlikely ways, Lord, that you can move, Father. Help us to see beyond what we know. Help us to look for the eyes of faith, Lord, and to trust in you, Lord, to believe you at your word, Lord, that you are our provider, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Lord. You're the God who does meet every need according to your riches and glory. And Father, help us to be ones, Lord, who don't miss out. But Lord, help us to put you first and Lord, see miracles in every area of our lives. So Father, I thank you for your people this day. Thank you, Lord, for every person that's here. Lord, if there's anyone here today who doesn't know Jesus Christ, Father, I pray, Lord, they will come and say, I need Jesus in my life. I need to know what salvation means. I know what it need to know, what it is to be clean, what it is to be free of shame. I need to know what it is to be close to God. Father, I pray they will come. And Lord, they will come and have Jesus in their life this very day. But Father, we honor you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace, Father, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.